We'll get to some baseball talk a little bit later on, but we have Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram in studio with us on our local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. If you go to Vandermark Jewelers, you'll know why. Stop by and see Jim, Bob, the entire gang down at Vandermark Jewelers in downtown Elyria on Broad Street, right across from the hospital. I've had a great experience every time I've gone into Vandermark Jewelers, and I know if you go down there, you will have the same. Dave, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Well, I want to get into something that you had posted on Twitter a little earlier today. I mean, you were actually a block or two away from here just a couple of hours ago, and you see what they're doing to those buildings that, of course, had the murals painted on them. And, you know, that's been met with at least a little bit of backlash, but I think it's certainly something that absolutely had to be done with the construction of the new library going up. What's the latest out there, and any idea how much longer Broad Street's going to be shut down as a result?
So I left the scene about an hour ago after watching them take down one building there in the 300 block of Broad Street. And someone that used to have the insurance, it had an insurance business downstairs and apartments upstairs. You wouldn't believe what people left in those apartments as they were sort of pulling stuff down. There were refrigerators and some couches and one filthy old ratty mattress that fell out of the hole. And the excavators are really interesting. They have these they basically have big steel beams with claws on the end and just cutting through the front of that building like butter. Parts of the mural coming down. I think there are people who, you know, who have a real emotional vested interest in that mural, and that's fine. And you know, I've only been in Elyria for a little while, and I know it's upsetting to see a work of art like that come down. But the David Pavlak who painted the thing, he said you know, I don't have an emotional investment in it. It was a job, and he's like I was proud of my work, but you know, progress is progress, and they're going to be recreating some of the scenes from that mural on the Elyria Arts Council building on the other side of Pioneer Plaza. So you won't be losing, I mean, you'll be losing that whole wall there, you know. I forget if that one's 314 or 322 Broad Street, but you'll be losing that wall, which again, you know, as an interior brick wall, it had issues with softer bricks being affected by moisture, heat, cold, freezing, unfreezing, popping out of the wall, the paint peeling, some sealant issues. So you'll lose that, but he's going to recreate some of the scenes on the side of the Elyria Arts Council building, which is really nice, just right there across the plaza. They'll be selling bricks with paint on them from that lost mural as a fundraiser for the Arts Council coming up here in a few months. You know, they were trying to keep the dust down, spraying some water, and about an hour ago when I left the scene, they were about halfway through that first long, thin building. Don't know about the larger of the two buildings whether that's immediately going to start once they're done with the first. Still have some questions for the city, still some things to work out. But when I know, you find listeners and readers out there will know as well.
Interesting how they're going to be selling off those bricks, because I think that part of it is at least kind of cool. You know, for those that didn't necessarily want to see it come down, you can at least keep part of it. And as you mentioned, it's a fundraiser for the Elyria Arts Council, which is interesting as well. What's also interesting is what they found when they were tearing that building apart. Tell me about this hidden basement that they uncovered.
Well, right behind those two three-story buildings were, as I learned, actually just yesterday from a gentleman who I happened upon while I was out there yesterday trying to find out more about this hidden sub-basement. Gentleman walked up and said, oh, you know, his family used to own and manage the Elyria Yellow and Checker Cab Companies that were at 40 East Avenue many years ago. Not currently in existence, you know, as far as I'm aware. One of those buildings, some people referred to it as the armory. Now, I don't know if it was actually, like a National Guard armory at one point, or, you know, the local Elyria, you know, guards or what have you that might have, you know, it wasn't Civil War era for that matter. But there was a basement that one of the excavators punched through the floor, the existing floor, into this basement that they just didn't know was there. They had similar issues. One of my colleagues was telling me out with the new Elyria Stadium, with the new, you know, new field, where there were gas lines that they didn't know were there. And sometimes when you have urban architecture, sometimes when you're in an urban environment where maybe not everything is on a plat or a map or on a blueprint, you're going to find things like this. So this basement gets found. Well, they call the fire department to make sure there's no natural gas or radon or any other kind of toxic gas that might be coming out of that hole. Elyria Fire Department said, hey, it's safe to go in. But asbestos is the big worry. Causes cancer, causes breathing problems. You don't want to get that in your lungs. You don't want to swallow it. You don't want to be exposed to that. So they have to have an asbestos specialist come in, check to make sure there's no asbestos in that basement before they finish that job. From what I was told by a couple different sources, it really was just kind of a room with a little hallway that led to nowhere. So what used to be stored down there, I don't think we'll ever know. But it doesn't appear that there were any, you know, anything fancy or that, you know, any of the buildings that the Chronicle had actually owned for a time. Well, the Lorain County Publishing, company, which is the parent company of the Chronicle, owned some of those buildings for a time, and we weren't sitting on $1 million of gold bullion. There's nothing fancy down there. I wouldn't suggest anybody, trespass on the property and go in there, because you don't want to come out with asbestosis. So just don't go in there until it gets cleared.
So what do they do with that? I mean, does that become part of the plans for the new building? They fill it in?
You basically demolish the basement, fill it with dirt, and when it's all settled and everything, you start to build a new library. Huh. So
the idea is, like, they've not been able to dive down in there, right? Because they have to have an asbestos specialist come in there, take a look, and gut everything out in case that needs to happen. So they haven't had a chance to go down into the hallway in the room and really take a look yet, have they?
No. I guess from kind of outward appearances, it doesn't appear that there's anything in there. Kind of an empty basement. Whether or not it was, they put in a new floor at one point and just kind of bricked it over or whatever they did. But nobody at the site was expecting that. From what I understood. So, again, with these old buildings, you never know what you're going to find. There was some obscene graffiti on one of the interior walls of the building they were taking down today.
Oh boy.
which will not appear in the Chronicle tomorrow. not in any photos that we took.
For all the obvious reasons.
Exactly.
Question.
Yeah.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, the idea popped back up earlier this week about a new central maintenance garage in Elyria, and starting to get an idea as to when they might start taking some design ideas. I guess the bigger question would be, about how far is this away from actually becoming a reality? Clearly, it seems as though it is needed. It just seems like it's a matter of funding at this point.
It's a money issue at this point. And, Safety Service Director Mary Sawirkas basically said, we have an architecture firm who's ready to go if we need them. We have some plans, some phased out plans to save the city budget a little bit if we decide to do this tomorrow. The architect from MS Consultants told City Council on Monday, basically, if you voted on it tonight and you had all your funding secure and all your T's crossed and I's dotted, basically it would take another 4 to 6 months to go to bid with all the design plans and everything that they need to do. And then you could see construction start possibly within a year, spring 2020. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. Again, the city is wondering, where are we going to find the money for this? Now, I don't know. I don't think they know. Issue 6 funds came up. They just spent $1.3 million on paving 19 streets, on paying to pave 19 streets. And that was approved at council. All those streets in the different wards. There's a whole other budget for state highways and for other streets and throughways in the city that comes from a state, Public Works Commission and from the Northeast Ohio, Area Coordinating Agency. That's a whole other pot of money. So where the money is going to come from to build this new 90 to 100,000 square foot central maintenance garage, you know, I don't think even the city knows at this point. I don't think that they're going to, this is something they're going to put on the ballot. I think people get a little ballot shy, a little ballot sick, you know, when they're paying some of these things, and you know, that's a taxpayer's prerogative. So where the money's going to come from is basically the question. The renderings look really nice. I mean, this is a company, MS has done garages for the Ohio Department of Transportation, I think the Youngstown Water Authority. They also did some facilities for them, so they have experience doing this for these kinds of entities. And the renderings look really nice. The old garage is just too old. It's too old. It's built on landfill, which is settling, so they can't build anything more on it lest you develop a sinkhole.
So, and I think another aspect of this too is, and you talk to a lot of those, not only those who are working in the garage, but also formulating the plan to try and get this new garage built, is that they need to house a lot of service vehicles. And I believe you mentioned they're like 160, somewhere in that vicinity. That's a lot of service vehicles.
Well, that's the city fleet. And from my understanding, from what Joe Strozak, the city's fleet manager, said the other night, that includes, I believe, all the police cruisers, trucks. But you're also talking your sanitation vehicles, what they call city service parlance, the Vactor, the leaf suckers, the leaf vacuums, you know, they call them Vactors, and they some of them also, you know, suck out the storm drains and things like that when they get clogged. And there's a lot of expensive equipment that the city maintains, anywhere from, you know, from $1 million fire truck to a $50,000 police cruiser, you know, anywhere in between there. A lot of this equipment is expensive. It has hoses and flanges and all sorts of other, you know, electronic and electrical, you know, bits and bobs on it that you don't want out in the cold, freezing, you know, in the winter that we just had, and then reheating, you know, and then warming back up again. And like, that could destroy some really very, very gentle electronics. Mm-hmm. So you don't want any of that. So you want to be able to house these really expensive, you know, $350,000 sanitation trucks. That you spent a year, you know, telling the company this is what we want, and then they spent building it to spec, and then you bring it in, and then you don't just want to park it on the street where anything could happen. So you have expensive equipment that you want to keep out of the elements. That's part of this too. Also keeping all the mechanics in one place. Some of these mechanics that the city has, They're trained specifically to work on, you know, a fire truck or on a sanitation truck, or they have special training for the leaf vacuums and things like that. Having them all under one roof makes people like Joe Strozak and Safety Service Director Sawerka more comfortable, because in case something goes wrong and one of the guys is sipping pina coladas on the beach, you know, in the summer, and he's not available, then you have somebody else who is available to do some of the work, or at least to give them a call on the phone and say, hey, buddy, I need to know, you know, where part A goes, where part B goes. How do you fix this kind of thing? So having all the city's mechanics, welders, these street workers under one roof, and have a place for them to shower, you know, if they're out at a scene and they get something spilled on them, to decontaminate, to eat lunch on something that isn't a cardboard table. You know, to have a place to have meetings and do training, you know, and a place where other city workers, you know, might be able to do training if all the other training rooms are full. So it will just allow the city to have a better facility. And those are all the pros. I mean, the cons, obviously, you know, and from the taxpayer standpoint, might be, what's it going to cost, and why do we need this thing? And one of the things that MS said was, this is not going to be, quote, the garage Mahal. Like, this is not fancy. This is utility only.
Garage Mahal. That's going to be the phrase of this interview. I think that might be the one thing we take away from all of this. Again, we're talking with Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, gas tax funds. I know this is not necessarily something just faced with the Elyria. I think you're seeing a lot of cities all across the state dealing with this as well. You know, the news came out a while back, you know, statewide. Gas is going to go up over 10 cents a gallon with this new gas tax. Now, of course, it's going to be a good thing for some who see some of the benefits. And I think around here, you mentioned that Just recently, it was announced that 19 new streets are going to get repaved, and that's kind of where some of the funding from the gas tax increase is going to come from. They're going to be applied to some of these projects. And, you know, I think it's going to be at least a little while, as you mentioned earlier, but that came up at City Council. You know, how long is it going to be before we see some of the benefits of the uptick in the gas prices that we pay, whether they're used for road or bridge repairs?
Yeah. So the tax doesn't start getting collected at the pumps until July 1st. That was one of the things that the governor and the state legislature worked out. 10.5 cents on gasoline and 19 cents on diesel. So diesel goes up almost twice what gasoline goes. That doesn't start getting collected until July 1st, and the city won't see a cent of that. Probably, according to Finance Director Pulaski, Ted Pulaski said, probably until September. So you're going to be at the end of the construction season at this point. Now, that also is pending what the state says the city can use it for, because they could potentially dedicate that money to say, okay, you have to use this to buy road salt from the Ohio Department of Transportation or from Cargill or one of the other salt companies. You must use it for that. Now, that's a possibility. Another possibility is that they say you have to use this to beef up, you know, helping us with state highways running through your city. I mean, that's a possibility. Whether that's what the Ohio Revised Code says, I don't know. It's possible also that the city might have carte blanche to use it the way that they feel most necessary. And I think several members of council, including Jack Serra, the Ward 7 councilman, and Phil Tillett, the Ward 4 councilman, were of the mind that we should use it to pave another 10, 11, 12 streets. If we get about $1 million from this next year, instead of doing 19 streets, we might be able to do 30. I know that there's a lot of people who've been talking on Facebook, a lot of people who I've been talking to on the street who said, yeah, my street's been terrible for years. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only so much money in the pot. I mean, that $1.3 million came from a voter-backed issue 6. All right. That was what that money was dedicated for. Now, this money, little more, you know, they have a little more room to play with it. I think that a number of members of City Council would love to see that go into more asphalt, you know, to fix some of the streets around here that have been, I wouldn't say neglected, but just been not paid as much attention to over time. Even Councilwoman Donna Mitchell basically said at utilities the other week, I remember when we used to not be able to pave a single street because we didn't have the money. You know, they were having to lay off city workers. There was just no money there. Issue 6, that was a huge boost. $1.3 million dedicated specifically to roads, and they spent all but 52 cents of it.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Pretty incredible stuff. Yeah. All right, my man. We are going to skip the new coffee shop in town. We'll probably come
Erie
back.
Erie Island is wonderful, by the way.
We'll come back to that again next week because I want to get into some of those details, but we're getting close to being almost 100% out of time, but I want to get to the scanner stories for this week because you always have so many great ones, and that's how we'll close out this week. What kind of scanner stories do you have for us?
I got a real good one for you. I saved this one up. Don't know if he was singing in the rain, but Dateline Cleveland, a disturbance at East 30th Prospect and Payne in that area. Pardon me, dear listeners, but a male with his pants down.
Oh, boy.
Leaning on a pole, spinning around the pole as well. Hashtag early Maypoler.
Wow.
Interesting thing to see as you walk by, I suppose.
Yeah.
Performance art, interpretive dance. Who's to say?
It could be an excuse when the police pull up on you.
Well, we'll leave that open to interpretation. How about that? All right, Dave, always a pleasure, my friend. We love having you here in the studio as always. And we
good
will
to be
most
here.
Definitely do this again next week.
Looking forward to it. Go Tribe.
All righty. Sounds good again. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on our local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and see Jim and Bob and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers. They're located on Broad Street right across from the hospital. A trusted name in jewelry. They have been for many years. If you go down there, you'll see why.